Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and today on the show, we're going to unpack Sunday night's Real Housewives of New Jersey season 14 premiere and use it as a jumping off point to discuss what to expect from this season. Jersey is probably the most divisive and divided Real Housewives franchise, and it's at a huge inflection point right now. Last season, we saw Melissa and Teresa finally be open about the fact they just do not like each other, and the explosive reunion was sort of like the nail in the coffin for their relationship. Many people figured that that was the moment that the show would have to say goodbye to one of them, but we were wrong. They both came back this season and are mostly on the same page about just coexisting on the cast. They're ignoring one another at group events and refraining from talking too much about one another. That way, the show can move forward with both of them and not have it be centered around their drama yet again. Andy Cohen has said multiple times about this season that it's more of a band-aid than a long-term solution to the Melissa and Teresa problem, though, but that it did work for this season. Instead of continuing to follow the ups and mostly downs of their family drama, we have a lot of newer threads to follow that were either teased or teed up in this premiere. There's the Fudas versus Teresa and Louie. There's Jackie jumping ship from Margaret and Melissa to Teresa and Jen. There's Jen Fessler kind of amping up her presence on the show, trying to play the middle, perhaps unsuccessfully, and a lot more. Also, in the last few weeks, there's been a lot of drama online with Jen and Teresa and some tea that has leaked from a few fan accounts about how they allegedly tried to manipulate how information came out about their co-stars, which will impact how to view some of the show this season. To help me break down the premiere and discuss all of the above and more, I invited on my friend, the entertainment journalist, Jared Alexander. We had a great discussion and we're both excited for the season despite any complaining from the fans. Keep listening for our reactions to the Real Housewives of New Jersey season 14 premiere, and please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib wherever you're listening to this right now. I want to gab. Okay, today we're gabbing with Jared Alexander, an entertainment journalist who has long covered the Real Housewives, always a familiar, friendly face at Bravo events, and he's on here to unpack the Real Housewives of New Jersey season 14 premiere. Jared, I'm so glad we're finally doing this. How are you?
I'm good, Gibson. I'm so glad we're finally doing this. Like you said, we're like familiar faces in the trenches covering all these crazy Bravo ladies.
We have been in the trenches a lot together.
We've seen some things.
I mean, this past BravoCon, we would always meet up in the lobby of Harrah's at the Starbucks with a 20-minute line and then just get going.
Receivers.
Exactly. Okay, so last night was the premiere and you went to a watch party or a premiere party at Margaret's house. How was it? Who was there? Give me just the quick lowdown before we jump into the episode.
It was like exactly what you'd expect from a Margaret Joseph's party. I mean, it was like super fabulous. And it was very much that side of the cast, I would say. I think the Fudas are in Italy right now, but it was, of course, Margaret, Lexi, of course. And then it was Melissa, Joe, Jen Fessler and her husband. And then Dolores and Polly were there, too, of course, who's like famously right smack in the middle of that cast. And it was just good vibes all around. I mean, there was like great food. And then we watched it. And then I had to get my butt back to the city.
When you're watching an episode, I mean, I feel like I've been to watch parties and things. Is there commentary when you are watching that, or just kind of like, you know,
it's usually on in the background. I feel like when the episode started, like the first 7 minutes, it felt like everyone was kind of watching, and then it just, you know, people have to go to the bar, and then there are side conversations, and then you eat, and like you said, you've been to those screenings. It's also just hard to hear no matter where you are. I remember that Potomac, that big Potomac party they did in DC that time. It was cool, but it's like, again, it's just like hard. Like, you always are so excited to watch it when it's out because you can't like watch it from the comfort of your home.
Exactly. Okay, so the premiere. What did you think of the episode itself? I thought it was a fine premiere, but what did you think of it?
I think it for sure was a fine premiere. I think all of us going into this season, of course, after the way last season ended, we're just like, how is this going to work? And I think that they answered that question successfully. I feel like it does work. And while, of course, like Melissa and Teresa, they kind of set the tone being like, we're not going to talk about each other. They feel at least we'll be at the same events with each other. And that's honestly fine. I feel like what we aren't talking about is that this cast is pretty strong all around. Mm-hmm. To really carry a show. This isn't like, I know obviously Teresa and Melissa, like this has been, maybe it's like the longest running feud on Bravo at this point, like ever. But I think that we have really heavy hitters in this cast that can do just fine on their own and can do just fine on a housewife show. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was fine. I do think it was helpful to see exactly how we will kind of address the Melissa Teresa thing. Like, you know, we see Melissa being asked by a producer something about Teresa, and she's like, I just don't want to answer any Teresa questions. Obviously, they kind of do her dirty, but like they cut to the next scene and it's her and Joe talking about sending off Antonia to college. And we see Melissa bring up the fact that Joe helped move in one of Teresa's daughters like a couple years ago. And so like, obviously the fans on the Teresa side get like all riled up because it's like, oh, she's already breaking her vow to not talk about Teresa. Well, it's like obviously they're not going to talk about each other as much as they can, but they're still on the same show and on the same cast and in the same family technically. So like there are going to be moments where their names come up, but I think overall they're being pretty respectful on either side. And when they go to a group event, they're just kind of just going to ignore each other. And I think it's going to be awkward at first. And I bet you it's going to get less awkward as it goes on, depending on how many group events they actually have with everybody there.
I agree. And I feel like those scenes too, a lot of times those are just like the mechanics of making a show like this. Like you're always like, who's going to be there? And then you talk about it, which is very different than, you know, last season. I feel like the crux of the season was leading up to this wedding and the tension and the Louis of it all. And you could say the same thing that, you know, Teresa was talking about them at the dinner with Dolores and Pauly. So I feel like it's one thing to kind of talk about it within the context of like, again, like making a show like this, where like you kind of are, you're putting the pieces together for the audience exactly to follow along. Versus like actually
like talking shit. Yeah, talking shit, basically. Yeah. Okay, so the episode starts with this clip that we had seen on social media last week, but it's this like epic 80 seconds. That's like just pure cinema. It's Dolores, you know, in like sepia tones at the table, this huge table at Rail Steakhouse, and like an icon of Real Housewives of New Jersey, sitting there like a mob wife, just like kind of leaning back in her chair. And then we cut to some screaming in the background, glasses being swept up from the floor. We see, I think there's like a Birkin in the corner with some liquid spilled on it. We hear like, how did it ever come to this? Like, it's like the family kind of divide and drama that I just want from Jersey. And I haven't stopped thinking about that clip in particular, honestly.
It gives it, it's so good. I feel like we all haven't stopped thinking about it, and I'm glad they released it before. As frustrating as it can be that like sometimes you'll see half the episode before it's out.
I know.
It was so fun. And I feel like that really quelled, like I saw so many people online who maybe weren't the most excited about the season who were like, wait, I think I'm tapped in again. Like, yes. They were just so excited. And it was really fun. I wonder what you think too. It was fun to see Dolores really like center as the glue of this group. Like we've always known that, and it can be, and I love Dolores. Like she's probably one of my favorite housewives. I just think there's an authenticity to her. But I have been frustrated with her, of course, over the years, because sometimes it really does feel like she's very Karen Huger. She kind of is the best. But it was fun to see them really lean into that in terms of like her being a power player.
Right.
Like even just like her having like the first confessional of the episode. And I feel like there really is something to that. And it was so fun to see her because she's been on now, I think I was doing the math, it's even like her seventh or eighth season. It's yeah, kind of been a long time.
It's wild. So. Yeah, she feels like one of those sort of like de facto OGs because the show has been on for so long that she's just been a constant. And like, yeah, I think that she gets criticism, but I think that ultimately, you know, she just is her authentic self. And she is somebody who wants to bring people together, at least be able to be in with everybody. And I don't think that's some sort of calculated thing or some inauthentic thing. I think that's just who Dolores is. And like, I mean, she was at the watch party that you went to, but she's also really close to Teresa. And everyone's kind of like game for Dolores to be that way. You know, it's kind of like, it's no longer like a point of contention that Dolores gets to be on both sides. It's just how she is. You know, I think that everyone's accepted that, which I think is important. But I totally agree. It's sort of like, you know, what was kind of billed as sort of her weakness is sort of her Achilles heel is now sort of her biggest strength, I think. Okay, so the episode starts off, and I thought it was actually really interesting that after that clip, we cut to the Fudas, and they're sort of with their family and with their extended family. So we're kind of, which is full of characters and people who are kind of give us some commentary and kind of ask the questions about the mess. And obviously, the Fudas are clocked in and showing up to work this season in a really big way. And I thought it was kind of telling that we're starting the season with their family.
I think so, too. I mean, I feel like he got a really big chunk of the episode, more than like Janeta did, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like there's something to be said. Again, I feel like this is a show that historically has been so hard to cast because it's so centered around families and interconnected people. And I feel like from what we've seen so far, Rachel and Danielle really worked last year, and I'm excited to see them enter their sophomore season. And I feel like for Rachel, it's just exciting. She's got a great family, and she's pretty young. I mean, she's 34. So especially compared to this cast, I feel like it's just a completely different type of energy. And it was interesting to see her kind of set the stage from what we eventually find out by the end of the episode. It's going to be a Fudas versus Louis Teresa.
Totally, totally. I do think that in many ways, like, they could be the quote unquote future of the franchise if indeed like this season is sort of the band-aid for their problems versus like an actual long-term fix. But I also think that the fact that Rachel and her husband are basically sworn enemies of Teresa and Louis at this point, like, they're never going to be accepted fully by like basically half of the viewership out of loyalty to Teresa. I mean, we're setting the stage obviously for the rest of the season, but I'm really curious how it's going to kind of net out, because she is really strong. She has so much promise and so much of a runway, but I don't know. It's just interesting. It's she's coming for the giant of the show.
It's so hard because I feel like on this show though, like, you kind of have to, that is how you prove your worth. It's kind of going up against
totally.
Teresa. So like, and that is where you see what you're made of. But on the flip side, you're right, that you have a whole side of the fandom that has kind of pushed you off. But then you have a lot of housewives who, again, Margaret was super up and down. She was super close to Teresa at the beginning and then down and then up and then down. But still, I think people, you could last a really long time. It just all depends on kind of how you play it. And I feel like, and I'm sure we're gonna get there, but I feel like Rachel's approach is really interesting in terms of the way Teresa pushes people's buttons. And she was upset, but not freaking out by any means the whole episode.
Rachel wasn't freaking out, or Teresa wasn't?
Rachel wasn't.
Oh, yeah, because Teresa was. But
right, yeah, Teresa was. And it was cool to see someone not
get flustered.
The exact same energy, you know?
At the party at the end of the episode, Rachel just sort of sitting there at that bar stool, like, as Teresa and Jennifer both come at her, and she's, like, pretty unflustered by it, which is impressive.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
So let's follow the Fuda, Teresa, Louis thing, since we're on it. So basically, you know, last season at the reunion, it comes out that Louis had hired a private investigator to investigate John Fuda and like his and their past and his and contacted his ex and all these things. And we see a scene with Teresa and Louis where basically Louis's like, I contacted John Fuda to meet up one on one to kind of hash things out. And Fuda comes back and says, I'll see you at Jen Fessler's surprise party. And he sort of wants to have that moment there. Louis kind of conveniently has this like cryptic business meeting in Florida, so he has to miss the party, and that's kind of all we get from that. And so he doesn't show up, so that kind of leaves Teresa to bring Jen as sort of her backup, and she kind of comes in hot. You know, she comes for Rachel, she comes for John Fuda comes for Holly. Like, it's this kind of, everyone's heated, but I think that it's because Louis didn't show up to kind of have that moment just with Fuda, honestly. What did you think of sort of the lead up to that and Louis bowing out? And
I feel like the bigger, like the thing that they aren't really saying is that for Louis and John to talk about it separately could mean not on camera. And frankly, right. I imagine that the Fudas want to hold him accountable on camera because of all the things he said about them and did. You know what I mean? It's like
that part. Yeah.
So it's like, I'll see you at the party because like, then we'll talk about it. If you really are going to be, because it seems like, again, this is what they say. It seems like Louis's behavior is very different on camera versus off and the way he tries to like appear. So I feel like that is kind of what was being unsaid. And it's tough. I mean, you saw Gibson like at both BravoCons at this point, but especially this one, like when you are around these women, and I do think that what stands out with this cast is that they are really authentic. These are real friendships. This is real life. And like the stakes are really high. And a lot of them were very hurt by what was alleged and the investigations and stuff like that. So it does feel like all the tension did make sense. I think it's going to be an interesting watch, which it really wasn't on my radar too much, but it seems like there's going to be like a meta layer to watching this season because of like some of the fan stuff that's been going on online in terms of how storylines develop on the show. I found watching the premiere on Sunday night really interesting considering the news week we had, because you kind of saw how certain things are kind of laid out beat by beat.
Yeah. So what you're referring to is that over the past couple of weeks, it's come out that Jennifer Aiden and Teresa, I think to a lesser extent, but Teresa is sort of involved in this as well. Some fan accounts that have historically been in their corner and been sort of ride or die for them turned on them. I don't really know exactly why they turned on them. Do you know why?
Okay. So the way I literally was avoiding this until it became big enough that like people were reporting on it.
I was avoiding it, so I'm not really sure to people listening sort of why the flip happened. But basically, these accounts who have been in the corner of Jen and Teresa for a long time came out with all these receipts that basically showed that they were feeding them information to post on their fan accounts so that they would be out there and Teresa and Jennifer could like refer to them on the show, essentially. So using last night's premiere as a case study in that, there is a scene where Teresa and Jennifer are riding in the car to Jen Fessler's surprise party. They're talking about, oh, have you seen what's out there on social media about John Fuda? And they bring up this like claim that John Fuda likes to use a double-sided dildo or something. And like, it's just like so outrageous, but that's quote unquote out there on social media. So then Teresa can come into the party and be like, you know what they're saying on social media about you, John Fuda, is you like to use a dildo and you used to be a drug dealer and all these things. And like, that's how that kind of stuff gets put out there. Correct? Did I summarize that?
No, that was exactly it. And again, it created the, you know, I feel like we have these moments in Housewives where things happen post-filming. And then when you watch again, there's new context. Like, of course, Beverly Hills America, you like think about that. Or you think about with Kyle Mauricio this past season. Again, I think it's going to give us really interesting context because, and again, it's all alleged. This is like, there are quite a few accounts who are talking about this, but who knows where the actual
there
truth
lies. There are screenshots.
But exactly, there are screenshots and just the way it all goes down and the way that they use social media. And I think too, in this new era we're in, if we're going to talk about it, a reality Von T situation.
Yeah.
And ethically in lines, where does this fall? You know what I mean? Like it kind of becomes murky waters in terms of how these women use social media.
Yeah. And I think that like, obviously Jennifer and Teresa, the spotlight is on them in regards to this, because it's a lot of it's come out in recent weeks about them in particular, but it should be said that I'm pretty sure almost every housewife has a fan account or a journalist or somebody who they are always sort of in contact with, giving information to. Like that's, it's sort of how the game works. And I think it's just being uncovered. It's being the lid's been blown off of it. And so one, I'm curious how it affects how they use social media and the fan accounts and sort of that whole ecosystem going forward. Now they know that they can be sort of found out in this way. But I think you're right to sort of connect it to reality Von T's, because it's like Monica's whole sort of pushback on the criticism to her was, no, but you guys all engaged with the account. You would send me messages, you would react to things. And that's kind of happening behind the scenes all the time, I think. But I think that clearly they did something to piss the accounts off, so they turned on them. And it's a dangerous game to play. It is.
It's a little bit of like, play stupid games, win stupid prizes a little bit, just because you can't, at least journalistically, right? Like you, I would hope for the most part, you are it's reporting. So it's different. And of course, you can have a feature and you can do an interview where you can speak your piece, but there are just like certain ethics that go along there. And with fan accounts, there aren't, you know, and it's, but it's really insatiable. I mean, some fan accounts literally break news, especially now. And it's not like before when like you would go to like the Bravo blog and see what they had to say, or, you know, each city had their own, whether it was, you know, famously Radar Online or Page Six or something.
Yeah.
And now we're kind of in this new terrain where like, again, there's like this ecosystem of fan accounts that really do engage. And I think I'm interested to see how we move into a new era. And I suspect that a lot of the women are going to be a lot more cautious with the accounts, maybe from above. Like, I feel like there's going to be a lot more.
I'm sure that Bravo has their eye on this for sure, especially as like their top stars are getting in the weeds with it. Again, for people listening, it's sort of like, when you see fan accounts break news and things like, which I think is great to, for them to get access to certain things and kind of it helps put them on the map. Both you and I probably have great relationships with a lot of accounts, but it's like now when you see it, something like that breaking news or kind of leaking something like that's probably coming from, if not a housewife, then somebody on production or something who's like sort of in the weeds with it and wants it to get out there. Back to the party. So John Fuda, the criticism that I saw in terms of, you know, social media, but also I bet one of the reasons why Louis took himself out of the equation for that party was one, not doing it on camera, and two, also not giving John Fuda the moment that I think a lot of people thought he was looking for, which like I would agree with. Like, I think that he wanted to have his on-camera moment, obviously to hold Louis accountable, but also to further his own sort of image making on the show. He still had a moment with Teresa. He had a moment with Pauly, who he accused of basically trying to play the fence, but ultimately being on Louis' side of things. What did you think of Fuda's sort of performance at John Fuda's performance at Jen Fessler's surprise party? Do you think that he was looking for the moment? Do you think he got his moment? What do you think?
Well, here's the thing. I think that two things can be true. I think he absolutely, it felt like he was kind of looking for a moment, but also that's just the nature of how these shows go. And I feel like every time Jersey comes up, there's always like a certain section of online who's like, is this the Real House Husbands of New Jersey? And it's like, just the husbands have been baked into the DNA of this show.
Mm-hmm.
Since the beginning, like they've had confessionals from the beginning, so it's just kind of how the show works. It's very much about family, so you are going to see the husbands get into it. And as annoying as it can be, and as annoying as people, it's gonna be a little shady, as annoying as people feel about it, the ratings don't reflect that. It's still one of the highest rated housewife shows, right under Beverly Hills. So like it's a formula that really works for now for them. Is it kind of annoying sometimes to like, when you're like, I just want to get to the women, why am I seeing these men scrap over this stupid stuff? But I think considering how you can look at it both ways, I mean, it seems like Louis and Teresa kind of brought a lot of the husbands into it.
Yeah.
Based on the alleged actions from the reunion. So, of course, it's where we're going to pick up, you know. But of course, when you see any husband kind of rev up and like try and have a moment, it just feels a little off because we're watching Real Housewives, you know. And I feel like, I don't know if maybe just because like Joe's connection to Teresa literally by blood just of course feels a bit more authentic, it is a little like, okay, we're, you know, we're gonna have a moment.
Yeah, totally. And one, they all get paid a lot of money to be on the show, the husbands as well, so that's one thing to know. And two, so it's like literally their job. And two, I think the pushback that I would have, which I was texting a mutual friend of ours about this episode and they brought up a good point, is that like the same people criticizing John Fuda for trying to have a moment and being sort of like kind of in the weeds with the drama are also kind of actively defending Louis and his place on the show. And he's just as much in the drama as anybody else. So the different standards, I think, are always going to be apparent on Jersey, but you got to just keep that in mind and like kind of look at it from the other angle and be like, okay, if it's okay for Louis to get into it, then it should be okay for John Fuda to get into it, basically. So let's just like accept that that is part of the DNA of this show. The other thing that I wanted to ask you about with Louis and Teresa is that they had this dinner with Pauly and Dolores on the episode. And Teresa brings up that Frank told her and Louis that the other side of the group met up before the reunion, before New York, to kind of lay the groundwork for their plan to take down Teresa and Louis at that reunion. And again, I think for me, for like people like you and I who are so sort of like in the weeds with this, that's not a revelation to us in terms of like, of course people are like meeting up and sort of hatching plans before a reunion, because like so much rides on those reunions, like getting a new contract, like kind of getting the last word in, kind of responding to things that happen in the season. They're really important, obviously. So to kind of be aligned before that is not a surprise to me. What did you think of her bringing that up? And I also, again, I saw somebody bring it up. It's sort of like, how is that different from Teresa and Jennifer meeting up with Margaret's ex-best friend, Laura, before last season?
Yeah, I mean, I think
I saw your tweet that was basically what you just said, and it was immediate retweet, because that is true. And Dolores kind of said that too, like a meeting of the mind before the reunion, like it's just, you go into prep. And I feel like, ooh, I don't want to be wrong. It was either your podcast or another one where Leva was talking about, like, when it's like around reunion time, like you just see like the casts just like dear, like they're just like always out and like having dinner because like,
right.
You just need to like get your story straight. Like you just need to like wrap your brain around what just happened, and you're about to like binge 12 episodes of, like, we all know those little.
And they haven't all been together for months because there's been a lot of time between filming and the reunion as well. So just getting in there. Yeah.
Yeah. And frankly, the season ended with allegedly, this guy hired a private investigator against all of them. So of course they're going to meet before.
Yeah.
To like figure out how they're going to approach this, you know? Like, I feel like that this makes sense. Just like, I'm sure there have been plenty of times where Teresa has met up, you know what I mean? If like they knew, it would be hard for me to imagine that Jacqueline Larita's last season, Teresa and Melissa weren't on the phone the night before.
Right.
It's hard to imagine that. And I think that there's nothing wrong with that, but I understand her feeling, like, listen, for Teresa, like she is lettuce now. She is 10 toes down for this man. She is in love with him. And she feels like he has been constantly attacked since he's been on the show. And I feel like from her perspective, there's a little bit of like, well, I chose this and he didn't. And I think for the other side and for some other viewers, they're like, it doesn't seem that way. But
yeah,
I understand her frustration for sure.
Of course.
I genuinely do. But I think like meeting before the reunion is like, come on.
I think that she's probably feels ganged up on and all those things. But I also think that bringing that up as sort of some big revelation is just sort of a way to deflect from the actual accusations and some facts about Louis that came out at that reunion. You know what I mean? It's sort of trying to overshadow that and kind of misdirect or redirect sort of some of the ire. I feel like that's kind of all I want to talk about in terms of like the Fudas and Teresa and Louis. Like, I kind of feel like, you know, I guess, did you see after the episode, John Fuda put out like a mock press release? Did you see that?
Weird. Like, I think this is where it makes sometimes, hey, it's like that, or even like a notes Instagram thing or something. It's just like, just let it. I feel like the more it gets in the weeds of like communicating off the show, then it's like, it's way more confusing just for the viewer. Like, just let it play out. Like, that's why Watch What Happens Live appearances are really crucial, because then it's like, I'm sure Rachel will be on and maybe John will be in the audience, and then like we can really get it down pat. And I get him wanting to get ahead of something like this. Like, I get it. But it's like,
but you know what it's giving? You know what it's giving? It's giving Todd, Alexia's Todd. Remember when he like would do those big long social media videos, like just didn't land? They think that they're being sort of tongue in cheek and really funny, but like, it's just not working.
It becomes really confusing for the audience and for everyone. And then it gives the other side just fodder to be like, you know, it's
totally.
I saw that and I was like, oh my God, no.
But he basically admitted that what Teresa was saying about like him, you know, being a drug dealer in a past life essentially was true. But he's like come a long way and all these things. And so like, you know, in some respect, I want to like praise him for owning up to like having sort of a more checkered past. But also it's sort of like just the manner in which he's doing it is just like, I do think that he's like, he's proving himself to be a little bit of a showman, to use Erica Jane's parlance.
Exactly. Dorit and PK. No, I think that absolutely it's like that. And again, it reads better if it's like the next episode where like in the Buddhist kitchen and then John is like, look, like I've worked so hard and like my life is so different. It was a tiny little thing. And now it's like, you know, like I don't know what it is, but like let's say that's what it is. Like that reads better than, you know, it would be like if Evan Goldschneider a couple of years ago released a press release that I was like, I was not hooking up with people at the gym. You know, it's just kind of like,
totally
watch it. And then no one really believed it because we just let it play out, you know, or at least, I don't know, a certain side. This show is so divided.
No, I know what you're saying. But clearly there's a lot to come in terms of the John Fuda, Rachel Fuda, Teresa Louis situation. And like, I'm actually, they're both so riled up that like, I actually am kind of here for it. I'm sure it'll cross lines on both sides, but Teresa does actually pretty well when somebody gets under her skin in that way. Like she gets activated and she sometimes takes it too far, but I think that I like to see her clocked in, because I feel like over the past couple of years there are moments where Teresa has sort of felt a little bit listless on the show. And so I think to see her really clocked in, it's actually kind of refreshing to see. And she can hold her own without Louis by her side at a party, obviously. There's a reason why she's been around for so long. It's also credit to the Fudas for kind of getting in there and after just a season. So I'm very curious to see where this all goes this season.
I think if you treat housewives, again, like sports, let's say, like Teresa, like any good housewife is, sometimes you're just as good as your sparring partner. And like,
yeah,
Teresa is, again, she's on the Mount Rushmore. She's one of the best to ever do it. Like, I literally fell in love with her from the second I started. She was such an entry point for me.
Yeah, no denying that.
There's no denying it. And she's such good, like when she was packing up the candy, it was like, I was like, God, Teresa is just like.
That was iconic, shoving those Starbursts in the bag, but missing the bag.
Right. She's just, she is so iconic. And I think two things to be true, though. Also, like, a lot of the credit for the longevity is, I'm not saying Melissa did that. It's because of Melissa, but I'm saying it's like having someone against you is like, that is what House Hunters is about. It is a sport. And so, like, and that has lasted them so long at this point. And it's so exciting to see, again, like you said, someone kind of get under her skin. We kind of had like the namaste tree for a couple right. years up until like the last two seasons. So it's kind of cool to see that, because I feel like, again, that is when she's kind of backed into a corner. I mean, that famous season 4 Christmas tree dress reunion is like the Christmas pageant dress. Like, that is like such a perfect case of like, that's the best Teresa. Like, when she's backed into a corner and just like,
yeah, totally. 100%. So a few other things that we sort of got seeds of in this premiere, you know, there's that scene where Margaret comes over to Jen Fessler's house. They're really good friends, obviously. And you know, they're talking a little bit about Teresa, and Margaret says she's dead to me, essentially. And like, I don't really want to hear about her, or you to bring me up to her. I think that that conversation is sort of laying the groundwork for something that we see in the premiere of like, Jen Fessler also gets closer to Teresa, and maybe to a lesser extent, Jen this season. So obviously that's going to complicate the group dynamic for her. You know, clearly, I mean, she was at the watch party that you went to. I think that she is still kind of maintained friendships with probably both. I don't know where she stands with like the Teresa side, but she's definitely still friends with the Margaret side of things. And I just think that her getting into the mix like this, and again, I tweeted this during the premiere, but it just feels like Jen Fessler is on the rare trajectory of friend of to Real Housewife, because she just like, everybody likes her. She's great TV. She's entertaining. And she's kind of stepping it up in her second season in a big way. So do you see that kind of same track?
It feels like that. It feels like that Sutton edit. I mean, when we were at her house and she had that whole scene of her playing guitar before Margaret even went there, I was like, oh, this is like,
yeah, her daughter's in the scene. Right. Exactly.
And she's so, there's something so likable about her. And I do think that it's going to be interesting to see her maneuver in that way. Cause I do feel like cats only have room for, like, it's hard to think of like Dolores and Jen being truly Switzerland. I think there's just something about Dolores who is, she's just so, you know, she has that Patterson side and she's so steadfast.
Right.
Because like Dolores can sit down with Margaret and Margaret can bitch about Jen and Teresa and she will give her opinion without really bashing them. But like, we've seen moments where she's like, no, Jen was wrong for that. Or to Margaret, she'll be like, Marge, you shouldn't have said that about Jen's husband or whatever. And it seems like, at least in the edit, it's got to be Jen is a bit more of a gossip about it. And kind right. of talks differently. And I love a gossip on reality TV. Like, that's my favorite.
Obviously. Like,
so I think, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that moves along. And I think, and again, obviously, maybe I'm partial because I am a good friend, a fan of Margaret's rather. And I just think that like, the hard lines sometimes are really frustrating. But I think we all saw that reunion. I feel like they all kind of have hard lines right now with each other. And it's not going to be able to last forever. But I think for right now, I didn't have an issue with it. Like, it felt like it, I liked that it wasn't like, you can't talk to her at all. It just was like, we don't have to talk about her.
Right. Totally. Yeah. 100%. 100%. And obviously Teresa and the Fudas are enemies at this point. And apparently, I guess that puts Jen Fessler and Rachel Fuda in a weird spot, judging by the trailer. That's not really a friendship that I feel invested in at all. I didn't even realize that they were like super close, but that kind of is teased in the reunion, in the trailer, that they have some issues because of that kind of new closeness, I think. Do you care about that? Like, it's definitely a new thread, I guess, to follow.
I think it's a new thread. I think with this show, and again, I this is the testament I give to this show almost above others, is that the friendships are really genuine. I feel like with Fessler and Fuda, they joined at the same time, and clearly Fuda and Daniel Cabral kind of went in with a lot of tension. So I feel like when you are like experiencing something together, you kind of like bond in that way. I think what makes the show, again, really hard to cast, but so special, is that I think authentic friendships on reality TV are really hard to come by these days.
For sure.
And it's, you have people who join the show, like a Margaret, like a Jackie, like a Jennifer, who like they don't just film the show. Like, the Jersey women are so ingrained in each other's lives. Like, they see, they talk, like, Margaret and Dolores, like, I remember we didn't know for years. They're like, no, we talk on the phone every day for, like, hours on end, like, where we spend holidays together. And then you have, like, you know, Jackie and Margaret and Melissa, we're very close. Like, that is why this is so weird. It's not just, like, alliances shifting that is exciting, but, like, okay. Like, this stuff feels real. Same with, like, Jennifer and Teresa are very close. Like, and I think that that is what really sets the show apart. And again, in a landscape, I think it's just the nature of reality TV and where we're going, where it's you don't really have that as many authentic friendships. And that's okay. It doesn't always have to be that way. But I feel like that is the secret sauce to the show, that they really invest in each other. And it starts to become, you know, the stakes are real. They feel like familial as friends.
Yeah, no, totally. Like, they just feels that they're part of these, like, the same suburban communities where, like, where gossip travels fast and people sort of, like, they go to each other's houses and, like, sit there for hours and really bond and like, that just feels like it's sort of part of their life. And I think it also speaks to the power of, like, I mean, I think, you know, some people criticize the show for this, but I think it's a great part of the show where, like, the cast hasn't changed that much over the years. We'll add two people every couple years that really work, but, like, we haven't had, like, a one season housewife on Jersey in a very long time. I'm, like, trying to rack my brain. I guess we've had, like, a friend of here and there, like Tiki Barber's wife, that was, like, you know, blink and you miss it. She wasn't even on the reunion that season. But like, it's like they hold on to their people on the show, and I think that adds to that feeling that you're talking about, of, like, these really entrenched connections that make the stakes higher. They make it more believable. They make the feelings richer and more real. So that's why Jersey is different.
1,000%. And I feel like it's not for lack of trying. Again, I feel like they did the Tracy Johnson thing. And there was that, remember that realtor, Michelle, who came on talking about Joe Gorka and the business stuff. So I feel like they tried.
About her.
But what I appreciate about, and I don't know if it's Sirens, the production company, or if it's like Bravo with that show, I feel like they pull the plug early. Like, if it's not working, we're not going to sit through a... I feel like some cities, and there's nothing wrong with this, some cities you watch and you're like, oh, they were kind of on the fence with her, and then they gave her a full-time status last minute, and then she's just not going to be back next season. It is not
Anna Marie. Yeah, exactly.
Period. I was going to say Diamond, but I was going to let you say that.
I'll say it.
Right. So it's like, you know, it's nice to see them. And again, as frustrating as it can be, it's nice. I feel like sometimes we have to know, like, they know what we're doing. As much as we have complaints, like, they know what's going to work holistically. And I feel like that's why it took so long for us to get new people. And, like, Danielle and Rachel really work, you know, have someone like, and again, I think it's going to be, let's say we had just gotten rid of Jackie and not kept her around. And I feel like, you know, when you're offered a friend of thing, we always hear that, like, you know, it's really up to the housewife. It's kind of like a big hit to the ego. But the fact that she did stay around, it seems like we're about to get a really wild fallout between Margaret and Jackie. So
that's the last thread that I kind of want to follow for us today. We didn't really get much of that, if anything, in the premiere. It comes to Jackie and Margaret's big falling out. It's kind of it's the thing that I think was whispered about when they were in production on this season. Like, people were like, oh my God, did you hear that Jackie and Margaret are no longer friends? Like, how did this happen? And it kind of seems like, obviously, it's sort of Jackie, but also, like, Margaret and Melissa, too, is sort of involved in that. But I think it's mostly between Margaret and Jackie, but I think by proxy, Melissa's also probably not friends with Jackie anymore. I guess what do you remember from, like, your first reaction to hearing about this? How has your opinion on the situation evolved? And, like, what do you think we're going to see?
It is really shocking. I mean, you've spent a great amount of time with these women too. I feel like they're just, again, there's an authenticity to them genuinely. And it was kind of shocking because, again, they're real friends. It doesn't feel just like, oh, it's an alliance. Like, an alliance ship, they don't really care about each other. So it definitely just felt like, what is happening? I mean, at BravoCon even, this was like, they had just wrapped. And then hearing that Jackie was going to be on Teresa's panel and Danielle Cabral. We had heard about Danielle and Jen in that fight.
Right.
So Danielle being on the other panel made sense, but it's weird. And now, I guess, you kind of hinted at it. My bigger question, I guess, I'm excited to go into it and see how it all evolved. You know, like, I want to see, like, how, I guess it is just by proxy, but I guess it'll help us really gauge, like, what's really going on. Like, if this is just a reality TV thing, or if there's something a bit more serious, depending on, like, how Melissa were really good friends too. So I want to know, like, how did that fall out too? If it's just something between you and Margaret, you know?
Yeah, I think my read on it, and I would like to be surprised by this and be wrong, but my read on it is that it is a little bit of a move from Jackie to sort of mix it up on the show for herself, which again, this is her job. And so like, I don't necessarily blame somebody for doing that. I understand the thinking behind it, but I think it becomes real hurt on the other side when you're Margaret and then, I guess, by proxy, Melissa, who feel like a real friend of yours for several years, is kind of throwing away the friendship just to try to, you know, further their place on the show or potentially get back to full time again or things like that. And I'm not saying that's what Jackie did, but that's the read I think that they're having on it, or that if you kind of can piece it all together, that's sort of, I think, what, if we're picking up what they're putting down, I think that's sort of the implication. So I'm curious to see if it feels that way, you know, because I think they are genuinely hurt by it. And I think that the thing that I've heard, or maybe was it hinted in like a trailer or something, is that, I guess, from Jackie's perspective, something might come out, or she might have, there might be a receipt or something that proves that Margaret was behind some sort of rumor from several seasons ago. I don't know if, where that comes from or what, but that's sort of, I think I've gotten hints of that. So it could be real hurt on her side too. You know, it might not be fully based on reality TV movement, but from the outside, that's sort of the perception that a lot of people have.
For sure. I mean, there's, with all these shows, there's always that underlying tension of like, this is really about the show. And like, we're fighting about one thing and it's about the show. And this is something that you can't take that equation out of it. So I feel like you said, from either one side or the other, there is a feeling of like, oh, like I was either used by you for the show, or maybe our friend, it feels like, and again, we have to watch it. It feels like the crux feels like, were we really friends at all? From both sides.
Totally.
And I feel like that is, you can point to a lot of, you can point to Bethany and Carol with that. You can point to a lot of different falling outs that have been really genuine that are really kind of hard to pinpoint. So I think we're in for a good ride. And I think that it's interesting too. I mean, we have like, this is what's so crazy about Housewives. And like, one of my favorite things is like the footage you have that like winds up being like so foreshadowing and like Shakespearean. Like, we have Jackie 2 seasons ago saying like, you do not want Margaret as an enemy. And that's
totally. Oh my God. It's Shakespearean. Yeah.
Yes. So like, I'm interested to see. It is a little heartbreaking again, because like,
of course,
when you're fortunate enough to work around women like this, and like, and when you get to see their genuine friendships, it is kind of bad. Like, it's kind of.
Oh my God. Like I remember I went to Meredith Marks had a, I think, season 2 or 3 viewing party for her for Salt Lake, and Jackie, Dolores, and Margaret and Lexi all showed up together, you know? And it's like, that was a totally off camera. That was off season for them. And they just showed up to have a fun night together. And like, that's just one example of, I think, many times that you and I have like seen them out and about at different Bravo adjacent or New York events. And like, those are real friendships, you know, and like, that was not for the show, you know, and that's a different thing. And yeah, it's definitely sad. And like, I loved their friendship. And I mean, my first ever time I interviewed Jackie was with Melissa and Margaret on her first season. And it's like that. And that was a while ago. And they've had a great friendship since then. But I think also the timing of Jackie kind of going to the Teresa side of things is also tough and telling, you know, because it's not this point of finality for Melissa and Teresa and Margaret and Teresa. So that probably kind of makes it hit a little deeper.
We're in for a ride. I'm like already like, I'm excited and stressed.
Excited and stressed. I think the premiere was fine, but I really do think this season looks great. And again, as Andy said, I think having Melissa and Teresa sort of coexist works for this one season. It's probably not going to work going forward. So I think that's also something to pay attention to is, are we being kind of set up or teased in terms of what the show could look like going forward? Or like what, because that's going to be top of mind for me, I think, the entire season as I watch. Like, is it they both go? Is it one of them go? Because it's pretty clear that it's not going to be this for season 15. So,
right. And the thing is too, and we've talked about this at length, like it's really easy, like, as the viewer watching to be like, oh, you either just pick Teresa or maybe some people feel you just pick Melissa. But I feel like they really are both big assets for the network.
Huge.
Like Teresa is, again, she is one of the best reality TV stars period to ever do it. She, at this point, it's like her and Kyle as like OGs who have stood the test of time. And I say this all the time, no matter how you feel about Melissa and like the way online chatter goes, like you go to BravoCon, the Gorgas cannot get through anywhere. Like they are... They're just big talent. We followed them for over a decade now, and people really love them too. So I feel like it's a more difficult decision than even we realize, like, for, and I think that's exactly why we're at where we're at.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, you know that you have an asset or a big star on your hands when people feel so passionately about them. And I think people feel so passionately about Teresa and Melissa, almost more so than pretty much anybody else on Bravo, because it's so divided, because we've spent so much time with them, like over a decade for Melissa, 14 seasons with Teresa. It's a long time, and it's a storied family history. And that is a lot to throw away if you're going to abandon one of them from the show. So yeah, I don't know what they do. I'm intrigued. I do not envy whoever has to make that decision, but we'll be keeping our eye on it this season. I feel like we've covered everything, Jared. I feel like we've kind of, we followed all the threads today.
We did. It was great.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. Well, Jared, thanks for doing this. I appreciate you coming on. I feel like this is the perfect time. Where can people follow you, get more of your content, more from you? Cause you do great work.
You can follow me on Instagram at TheJaredAlex and on X at HeyIt'sJared. Yeah, those are like the two places where I post most of my writings and musings and things. And also, I just want to say, Gibson, too, I'm just like so genuinely proud of you and like proud to work with you, and also just proud of like your whole journey and everything that's happened. It's like you were saying earlier, like it is a very interesting little lane we're in terms of covering reality TV like this. And it can be really challenging and tough. And you've always just been really lovely.
And it's so nice of you to say.
Good rapport. Of course.
And you're killing it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I'm going to do a plug for your TikTok too, because you've been starting this great little series where you basically parody some of the things the housewives do on the show at just like, you know, before a girls trip or before a big group dinner. And if you're listening, go find those because they're fucking hilarious. Very accurate.
My TikTok is at the Jared Alexander. So yes, definitely go there. I have quite some time on my hands these days, so I'm going to be posting a lot more, which is good.
Thank God for that. Well, Jared, yes. Thanks again for doing this, and we'll talk again soon. Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gibsonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gib at Gabbing with Gib on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gib is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.